privilege to be in the house of the Lord. It's not a chore, it's a privilege. You know, it's so easy and so quick to lose that edge and just drift along with everybody else. But we don't want to go where everybody else is going. Because the Bible says, wide is the road, and many are on that road that lead to destruction. We don't want to be on that road. We want to be on the road that leads to life. Well, let's go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to go look into something that is a little different than what we usually do. And I want to talk about the thorn in Paul's flesh. Now, nobody knows what that thorn is, but we're going to try and find out. And I know why we don't know, because it's nobody's business. It's nobody's business to know what Paul struggled with. But we can learn some things from what he writes. And a very interesting few chapters, actually, that where he deals with this issue, starting at chapter 10, going all the way through 11 and 12, and we should end about 6 o'clock tonight. All right. Frustrations. I have some. Well, I mean, if you have a thorn in the flesh, well, it's good that you have one. Because now you have to depend on the grace of God. Because if you don't have one, you just depend on what you can do. Well, that's not much. So the thorn has its little purpose there. And that's to keep you humble. Because if you're not humble, you're going to be proud. And then the Bible says, the Lord brings down the proud. And nobody wants to go there. Okay, well, let's... I don't want to read all of that, obviously. But he's going to visit this church, and he's received some news that other people went there to that church that he started in Corinth and started teaching some things that were different from the things that he taught them. And also, there are some people who were, you know, the flashy ones. They were the flashy ones with the nice business cards and the nice black limousine and with the chauffeur and all of that, that showed up there at that church and impressed the people because they were so eloquent and they were so polished and all of that. And the people fell for that. They listened more to how they preached instead of what they preached. And they fell for that. And he's frustrated. This man is frustrated. He worked so hard, and it seems that these people drift off so easily and so lightly. And he's beginning to air his frustration. Now, here in chapter 10, it's a passage that we use often when we talk about the spiritual war. But really, this is where Paul starts talking about this thing that's so heavy on his heart. He says there in verse 2, "But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence, by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." So some people thought, well, you know, Paul, he's not so eloquent. He doesn't have such a presence about him. And we think he's just of the flesh. He's not a real spiritual man. And then he says, no. He says, although we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. We have an arsenal of spiritual weapons that we can tear down strongholds. We're powerful in God. We don't need all this flashiness. We have that weaponry that we can bring down strongholds. And we are very powerful in the Lord. It's not the outward appearance that counts. It is what you have on the inside of you. Look at verse 7. It says, "Do you look at things according to the outward appearance?" And that's what these people did. They looked at the outward appearance, they were so impressed, and they fell headlong into a whole bunch of deception and things that people taught them. And what it seems, if you read through these chapters, was these people came and took up big offerings and robbed the people. And he says, you fell for that. They were so impressed by all of that that they, these people, you know, just came and abused them. Now, let's move up to verse 8 of chapter 10. It says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. So there's this apostolic authority thing that that is that these people also abuse. Isn't it? My authority is not to destroy you. My authority is to edify you, to build you up. And this is a good little thing to learn, to discern by, because God's heart is to edify the church. It's to build it up spiritually. So it'll be strong in the Lord. Our faith will be strong in Him. And all the challenges that come, we can beat them. Because our trust is in Him is so strong. He says, that's why, where my authority lies. It's to edify you. Not to take from you and destroy you. But to build you up. See, we need to learn from that little lesson, that yes, a way to discern some things. You know, when these flashy preachers come, and these, some of them, we have good ones and not so good ones on TV, and they seem to, the offering seems to be the big deal there sometimes. See what they do. Do they add to you or do they take from you? That's something that we discern by. Is that authority that they speak with, is it an authority that builds you up, or is it an authority that has the ability to draw out of you? That's a good lesson to learn. Yes. Now, verse 10. And here we have a little bit of his personality. He says, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful. But his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? His bodily appearance is weak. He has no presence. There's no charisma. He doesn't impress as a person. And his speech is contemptible. I don't know what his problem was. Was he a stutterer? I don't know. But he talks about that, and we'll touch on that again later on. That the Apostle Paul was not an eloquent speaker. He was not, and I think that's frustrating to be like that, because he had all this knowledge. Now, we can go over to chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech. I'm untrained in speech. Yet I am not in knowledge. Now, can you understand? Can you see the frustration there? This man has this incredible revelation knowledge that so much was entrusted to him to bring revelation to the church, spiritual understanding. And he has all of that inside of him. But he can't express himself well. He can write well, but not speak well. That can frustrate a person. There's a kind of a weakness that this man is struggling with. Now, I think personally, this might be a thorn in the side. There's a weakness that bothers him inside of him. This man is bursting with spiritual power and anointing. And this incredible revelation knowledge that he has, but he can't tell the people about it. It's a frustration that he's dealing with. There's a weakness somewhere in him. This is one of the things that I believe that Paul struggled with. Now, he was untrained, he said, in speech. Untrained in speech. He never learned, or there's something in that area that that bothered him, that he couldn't break through and become the person that he wanted to be. Now, we can drop down to verse 22. And here's something else coming up. And you see the Apostle Paul's life is very different from the life of some of these lives, some of these people that we read about here in these chapters. He's going through a lot of struggles. Now, I know that sometimes life can be tough and hard, and there are some challenges. It is not so, unfortunately, that once we make Jesus the King of our hearts, that from there on, life is smooth. I wish I could say it was so, but no, it's not so. And it frustrates us, right? We feel, you know, why did this happen? And why did that happen? And it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so, but it happened. And sometimes we doubt our faith, and sometimes we doubt ourselves, our relationship with God, and God's love for us when these things happen. These doubts come up and frustrations come up. And when we look at that, we see the Apostle Paul had a lot of those. Boy, I tell you, when I read his stories about what he went through, I said, God, I don't know why he just didn't stop halfway through all of that. And many people do today. When life gets tough on them, they just walk away from it all. They say, well, I don't believe in this Bible stuff and this faith. And I prayed and God didn't answer. Well, that's a whole new topic that we can talk about. There's a lot of reasons why God will not answer some of our prayers. And sometimes we'll come back a few years later and say, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Thank God for that. We need to be a little careful when it comes to the prayers that we pray. But let's read about some of his experiences there in verse 22. He says, are the Hebrews talking about these other apostles or so-called apostles? So am I. Are the Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And now he begins with his list. He says, in labors more abundant. He's a hard worker. In stripes above measure, he got beaten a few times. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Can you imagine that? How many of us will still go strong? And he didn't do anything wrong. 5 times. 5 times he received 40 stripes. That's 200 minus 5 stripes on his back just for preaching the gospel. But this man knew something that propelled him, that kept him going. He says, I cannot give up just because life is tough on me. We're learning some things here. It's never a good time to quit. It's never a good time to quit. Even if things around us seem to cave in and turn against us and all of that, it's never a good time to quit. I mean, you know, by the fifth time, I'll probably reconsider a few things. You know, maybe we're doing things wrong. Sometimes you will get beaten up because we're doing it right. And the enemy of our souls doesn't like the fact that we're doing things right. And he has enough people that he can use to team up on you and make your life miserable. But we cannot go by those experiences to determine if we're on the right road. We need to go by faith. We do what we do because we believe, not because life is easy. Okay, let's read on. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And you know, he was stoned and left for dead. They thought he was dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Now, you look at all of this, and you see inside of this man is a message that needs to come out, but he has to contend with all of this. I had a bit of a small feeling of what he went through, because he was a man on a mission. And all he wanted with all his life was dedicated to get that mission out, to get that message out. That's all the Apostle Paul lived for. But then all of these things happened to slow him down and stop him, and try to redirect him and so on. It's kind of this, like this, you want to try to do something, but then 10 other things pop up. And you cannot get to what you really want to do. You first have to do all of these other things that come up. I have a lot of that back home where we're busy renovating our house. And yesterday I put some frames around the doors in our room. And I said to God, you know, it's an hour's job. It's not a big job. Well, it took me the full day. Because then I found out, no, I cannot do this because I first have to deal with this issue. And then was that issue. And it took me the whole day, and all I wanted to do was a quick job. I think it was something like that. That he had the ability, he had the knowledge, he had the opportunity, but he couldn't do it because of all. Now there's a shipwreck again. I had 2 already, now there's a 3rd one. We're in the deep sea, and I have to deal with all of those issues. I get beaten up, now I need to recover first, and all of that. His life was a life of struggle. Verse 26, in journeys often. Now, in those days, they didn't have jet lag, but it took a long time to travel by boat. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. Can you imagine that? In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. And I'm reading this and I think Paul is the one that brought us that these wonderful revelations, that there's strength in God. There's power to overcome. He's the one that wrote that in Christ we have become more than conquerors. See, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing. And he goes through all of these things. And he's frustrated. He's frustrated. What I learned from this when I read through these passages is these are not signs of God's love for us. These are not signs that we're on the right road. These are things that the enemy designed to slow us down and to divert us from our purpose in life and from the goal and the place where we're going to. He wants to make our life so tough that we say, where is God in all of this? And just turn away from him. But the experience that he had with the Lord was too strong. He could not forget it. The revelations that he received from him, by which he was so edified and so uplifted, he could not turn away from God. And even though he was dealing with all these issues, every time he showed up to preach, there was a bunch of Jews that came to oppose him, that shouted this and shouted that. No, he's a liar, and he's this, and he's that. And the man could not get his message across. Thorn in the side. Thorn in the side. Verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, which is a weakness. How many of us can do that? Let's boast about our weaknesses. Let's not brag about our strong points, but let's boast about our weaknesses. That's a victory, you know. We can say, well, you know what, I struggle with this, and I struggle with that. I haven't arrived yet. I have these issues, and I have that issue. But I'm not giving up. I'm still marching on. I have struggles. I have issues that I'm dealing with. Life is not ideal. But I haven't given up the faith. I'm still moving on, and I'm not going to give it up. I am just moving on. Boast in our weaknesses. Verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now he says, well, I have some deep things. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, scholars believe that he was talking about himself. I believe that too, that when they stoned him, he died. He died. And he was caught up to the third heaven. And I know, verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Yeah, it's some experiences, but I won't talk about that. It says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. Well, you know, when you have somebody who's had some experience with the Lord, it won't take long for him to hit the circuit, and then everybody, there's a demand for that. You know, come tell us what you've experienced. Come tell us about this, come tell us about that. Paul said, I'm not talking about that. I talk about my weaknesses. Come on now. A weakness is not something that you have to hide. I think it takes a great heart to talk about the weaknesses and leave the other stuff alone. What do you think? Talk about your weakness. That'll keep you humble, right? And he says, verse 6, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But if I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Well, there are some deep things here that we can talk a lot about. But boasting is not a healthy thing for Christian. I wonder sometimes that many of those, and we still have them around, we still have them flashy ones around, how they'll do. They're so eloquent and so flashy and so charismatic. How they'll do after they received 5 times 40 stripes minus 1. How they'll do with that after that. And be shipwrecked for 3 times. Say, well, I'm not getting on that boat again. Itinerant ministry now, because the shipwrecking thing is a little too tough for me. And this beating up, everybody is beating me up. Let me tell you something. If you want to be a Christian, you better grow a thick skin. If you want to make it through to the end, you better have a thick skin. You'll never make it. You know, when people start complaining about, you know, if you hurt my feelings and all of that, the enemy will get you. You cannot be led by feelings. Yes, we all have feelings, and our feelings are hurt and all of that. But if that's how you live, you'll never make it. He says, my own countrymen came against me, and the Gentiles came against me. Everybody came against me. The governor tried to arrest me, but I escaped. I mean, if you're led by feelings, you cannot do this thing. You cannot walk this road if feelings are important to you. My human rights, I have human rights. Well, you may have human rights, but if you want to win this race, you better forget about your human rights and get right with God. Because there's no other way to do this. There's a whole lot of things that happened to us in ministry that I don't even want to talk about. And there was a time when I said, well, I'm done with this. My family is here. They know I'm not lying. When I said, if I ever want to pastor a church again, shoot me. I'll tell you, I had enough of that. I had enough. You have no idea. But how can we say no when God puts an assignment on you? How can you say no to that because your comfort has now been compromised? It is not as comfortable as I thought it would be. This Christian life is not what I thought it would be. We had an old sister in Belgium. She was very, very disappointed to find out, oh, there are some struggles along this road. She said, well, I thought now we're all safely in the arms of Jesus. Well, we are. He'll bail you out. He'll help you out. He'll calm the storm if you make him part of the journey. He'll calm the storm for you. But he didn't say there won't be a storm. Oh, there'll be storms. There'll be wind, there'll be rain, there'll be all kinds of things come against you. And the enemy will always be coming with that little thorn in the side. As I was meditating on this, I was thinking about different kinds of thorns. And the Apostle Paul, he seems to have quite a few of those. Now, when we grew up, there's a bush that is full of thousands of little thorns. They're like a fish hook. And if you just brush by it, you get caught and you can't get out. We call it the wait a little bush. Because you're going to wait a little. If you get caught, you're going to stand there and get them out one by one. And they're sharp. They're sharp. We were riding with our bicycles one day when we were teens, and a friend of ours slipped and he fell right into that bush. Well, it took a few of us to get him free. We waited more than just a little bit for him. And some of these thorns that come slow us down. It makes you wait a little. When you're in a hurry, it'll make you wait a little. That's one of the most difficult things for me to do, is wait. I don't have the patience for waiting much. if I see there's a red light down the road and there's a street out this way, I'll just go this way. If I can. Because I had enough in my life of waiting. I'm not the waiting type, wait for this and wait for that and wait for that. I just want to move on. And I can see the Apostle Paul, he had this thing pressing him. He says, I'm compelled by the love of Christ. And all these wait a little bushes are there with thorns that slowed him down and stopped him. And he's frustrated, frustrated. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Because then he doesn't rely on his own strength and his own power. He's being aided by the grace of God. And that's the good thing about having something that keeps you humble. And there's a part of you where you have to lean on the Lord. There are some things that we can do in our own strength, but there are some things where we just cannot reach that goal without his help. And there may be something in your side that will keep on reminding you that you just cannot do this on your own. You cannot do this on your own. You need God. You were never made to function on your own. You were made to be dependent on him. And he knows our weakness, and Paul says, this is a messenger from Satan. Satan is working here. Says God says, I'll help you. I'm not going to have that depart from you, but I'll help you. I will help you. You know, that keeps us close to him. We can drift away from God by doing his work, living for him, and be so busy that we have no relationship with him. And that thorn will keep you close to him. Now, I don't say God didn't send that thorn. He says that's a messenger from Satan. But God says, doesn't matter, you can still win. You can still win. And when Paul comes to the end of his life, he says, I have run this race. I've completed this journey. And there's a crown waiting for me. What a way to live your life. You look at all the stuff that he went through, all those difficult days and the hardship of all of that. When it seemed that God is so far away from him. And yet God was close. Because without him, he would never have made it. Now, I don't know what the thorn was in his side. Some scholars say, well, he had trouble with his eyes. Because in one place he says to the church, I know you would have given your eyes to me. Or for me, you would have given your eyes. And you see, he had an eye problem. Some even go as far as to say the pus was running out of his eyes. I don't know where they read that, because I don't see that in the Bible. And they want to make that the medical condition, but that's not what I think it was. I think I've heard many accounts of what that thorn is in the side of Paul. I mean, that scholars have gone and books were written and all of that. We just don't know. And it doesn't matter, because it's not our business to know. But now we can all identify with that. We can all say, yeah, I have a thorn in the side. And there are some things that I wish I could be rid of. And God says, I'm not going to help you out of that. I'll help you in the situation to win. And even though you struggle with this, and even though you struggle with that, and even though life is not as ideal as it can be, you can still win. You can still accomplish your purpose. You can still reach your goal. Because I'm going to help you. My grace is enough for you. I don't believe that God is raising up perfectionists. He's raising up people who can depend on Him. Who know where their strength comes from. And it's not in themselves. Their strength comes from Him. And in a difficult day when we question Him, He may be closer to us than it could be on a day when we feel good and we feel strong. Because His grace will come toward us and supply the need that we have. And it may not look like that when we go, you know, I've never seen people that go through a struggle and a war, I've never seen them look good. I mean, when you're fighting a war and you're in a struggle, there is blood and mud and dirt all over you. And some people hide. They hide. I don't want to be seen like that. I want to be seen looking good and on top of the world. Paul says, I will boast in my infirmities, my weakness. Here I am. I have weakness. I have struggles. But I have faith too. And I have a goal. And I'm going to reach that goal. You don't look good when you go through a struggle. But sometimes people need to see that. They need to see you fighting. They need to see you leaning on Him because you just don't have what it takes to win. You just don't have it. Others need to see that because that will make the faith genuine. That makes the whole thing real. There is a fight. There is a war. And that war comes to us. And that's not a time to run. That's not a time to hide. That's a time to stand up and boast. Yes. I have adversaries. I have an enemy. And I have all of this coming against me. But I depend on Him and I will win. I will win. It's a pity that Christians, when they go through struggle, the first thing is when they go through a rough time, well, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to church. I don't feel good. I'll just stay at home today. And I don't want people to see me like this. I don't feel like smiling. I'll just stay home. Well, they need to see you struggle because next time when they struggle, they're going to draw strength from what you went through. And when they see you come out of it, they say, well, then I can too. And that's the strength of the church when we are open about these things. Paul says, I will not be like those flashy ones. I will show you my weaknesses. Here I am. I went through all of this. And when I went through all of that, people said, he's just living in the flesh. There's no anointing on him. Just look at him. How can you be anointed by God if they keep on beating you up? How can you be anointed if you can't get the message out? They say you can't speak well. Who is the anointing? He said, but we're not walking in the flesh. But we have weapons that we can tear down strongholds. We can break down those walls that the enemy has built up, even though we look like we're just living in the flesh. We're beat up. But we can still win and beat the enemy. And be what God made us to be. We can do it. We can do it. I think when we hide our struggles, we have pride issues. Now, this is a good place to say, ouch. We have pride issues. I want them to think, boy, he's always on top of it. I want them to think, he's so anointed, he never has a problem. The enemy is so scared of him, doesn't come close to him. Everything is always right. In the meantime, all you have is pride. You don't have an anointing, you have pride. Because I've never seen, in all my years in the church, I've never seen a perfectionist. I've never seen anybody who never had a problem. Let me tell you something. People who don't have problems are the ones that never do anything. They never take a step of faith into new territory, out of their comfort zone. Because comfort is too important to them. They'll just hide there and just refuse to do something. Now, when you step out in faith, you're going to have some resistance. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. But that's not the end of the road. That's just where things begin exciting. That's where things become very exciting. Well, yeah. Now, before we close, sometimes we are a thorn in somebody else's side. What about that? That's not a good ministry to have, right? And my ministry is, I'm a thorn in their side. I'm called to be a thorn. No. And Peter says, we are called to be a blessing. Yes. We're called to be a blessing to others. Even though we have a thorn on our side, doesn't mean you have to pass that thorn on to somebody else. And then everybody sits with your thorn. Because you are going through issues, you infect everybody else. You're miserable, now you make them miserable. How can we win like that? Yes. No. And so when we see we irritate people, you need to do something about it, right? When we see... I'm not that blessing that I ought to be. Then I need to make some changes. Because then I'm missing my goal. Well, one of our goals is to be a blessing to one another. And to edify one another. And to comfort one another. And to be there for one another. And you cannot be there if you're a thorn bush. And let's look at those things. Say, I have little things that irritate people. Let's deal with that. Let's get that out of the way because that's part of my journey. I want to be a blessing. The little things about me, I notice that people don't like this and don't like. Well, you know, we all can change. Sometimes it takes a little while, but we can change. We can change. Everybody can change. You know, in my old days, when I was in the world, this impatience thing that I still have, I beat up a few people. I used to beat people up. They come and go, I just beat them up. Now, aren't you glad I'm not doing that anymore?
Yes.
How's that to help church growth? Let's just beat everybody up and see how the church grows, you know. There you go. Here's my thorn in the side. I beat people up. They just look at me different. I just beat them up. Ask my wife. Even after we got married, still had some of that. I didn't beat her up, though. But well, we can change. We can change, and we should. Those days, I thought that was a good thing to be able to do. I thought it was great. Everybody's scared of you. And especially if you're little small and tiny, I was half the size that I am now, and they don't expect anything, and the next moment you beat them up. And I just like that element of surprise that it, you know. But that was no blessing to anybody, including me. We can change. and make sure that we don't become a thorn in the side of somebody else, but rather come alongside them and encourage, be an encourager, and somebody to strengthen, somebody that we can stand with. And Apostle Paul writes about this, says, those who are strong, you need to be patient with the scruples of the weak. Let's come alongside them and realize, today you're going through a struggle, and I'm going to help you because maybe tomorrow that's me. And so we come together, and together we can do it as a body. I believe that when we leave our fellowship, we leave encouraged. You cannot face the world on a Monday if you get beat down on a Sunday. You leave here, you feel, I'm the most useless person. God help me, I'll never make it. I'm just a worm in the sand. No, we want to leave you strengthened. We're a blessing to one another, an encouragement. And when this week comes and the enemy comes down on us, we know I can stand strong because I'm not alone. Amen. And the grace of God is coming towards me, and we're going to have a great week. Because that's what we're here for. Amen. I don't know what your thorn is, but I would suggest, don't try to get rid of it. Focus on your goal. Don't focus on the thorn. Focus on the goal. Focus on the call. Let me tell you, sometimes, you know, I become distracted and I focus on my thorns. I become so discouraged and angry that you can destroy the very thing you're trying to build with your life. But let's focus on the call. And let's focus on the one who called us. Because he has the grace to see us through. And we can win. We'll not be slowed down. We'll accomplish what we were called to do. We'll accomplish all of that. Let's all stand. Father, we bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the courage of a man that was willing to write down in the record his struggles, his days of defeat and discouragement, his difficulties, and all that he went through, his frustrations, so that we can learn that your grace is sufficient for us. We don't have to be slowed down. We don't have to turn around and walk away from it. But we can walk on because of your grace. It is sufficient for us. We draw strength from you. And we will finish this race to your glory. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord, that we live in a difficult day. And we don't always know. But thank you for your grace. And we lean on you. And we draw from you. Day after day. And we run this race with joy in our hearts, knowing that we will certainly make it because of you. And we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.